May God's words be spoken. May God's words be heard. Amen. Well, welcome everyone to this Mass on the grass with brass. Woohoo! And a great brass it is. Thankfully, the air quality we had earlier in the week with the Canadian wildfires has improved dramatically, and we're able to worship here in this beautiful space and later enjoy a picnic with all the goodies y'all brought. I hope you came hungry. And we continue to pray for all those who are nearer to the fires and to the first responders trying to contain them. Sound check, you all are hearing me? Okay. Now on this Sunday, now just so you know, I asked you, so if you're falling asleep, I'll know that you can really hear me. On this Sunday, when we step out of what we know, our beautiful church nave, to be here, it's appropriate that we hear the stories in our scriptures from Genesis and the Gospel of Matthew. Because in each of these, people are being called out from what is familiar into the unknown. Now, in the Genesis narrative, Abram and Sarai are commanded by God to leave Haran, where Abram's father had settled the family years ago. They were to go to a foreign land, and God would bless them abundantly. Now, how many of you have moved from one place to another? Now, even when you may be excited about where you're going or the reason you're leaving, there's a bit of trepidation, right? About all the stuff you've accumulated and now have to sort through or cram into boxes, of course. Betty, I'm talking about you. Just kidding. But also about going into the unfamiliar. And perhaps, just as importantly, going where others do not know you. And then there is Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew. And he's sitting in the tax booth when Jesus walks by and says, "Follow me." Now, while the text doesn't say it, tax collectors in those days were not the beleaguered public servants of our day. They were ones who collected the taxes due to the emperor, and then some. So, as you can imagine, they aren't particularly well-liked in the community. Many, perhaps most, extorted far more tax from people than needed in order to line their own pockets. Was Matthew one of those crooked types? The text doesn't say. Yet when Jesus invites him, he leaves that booth and becomes a disciple. And apparently so did a few other tax collectors, as the text tells us. What must that have been like for them? They would lose all of their income. They did not really know what lay ahead. Well, for that matter, neither did those who had been with Jesus from the start. Like Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Matthew dropped what he was doing and followed Jesus. Something called to his deepest heart. It's the only thing that can move a person to give up the familiar and step forward into the unknown. Jesus calls out his followers out of their normal environments and invites them into new life. He did it with Matthew and also with all the others. The fishermen dropped their nets. Others left their homes and families. Matthew left his lucrative tax business. God called Abram and Sarai out of the place they called home, promising them blessings beyond measure. And we have come here out of our normal place of worship, and perhaps this too will be a life-transforming act. Perhaps it is a reminder, amidst all the financial stresses we face as a parish, that following Jesus is about what we do here at this table with one another. And what we do to serve him in the world, healing and loving those he would see, the outcasts, the stranger, the forgotten, the lost. Following Jesus is not about stones, wood, roof leaks, and furnaces. Maybe that is why when Christ calls us, it is usually a call to go where we have not yet been, to leave what is familiar. Why is that? You know, a few years back, some of you know this story, back in 2014 when I first came to this parish, I remember asking about a little area off the room where I get vested before the service. It was piled high with all sorts of stuff, including some flip charts that were perilously close to a very hot radiator. Now, I could see that it had once been a bathroom, and I asked someone about it, and they said the bathroom doesn't work, so it was turned into a place to store stuff. Bathroom to store stuff. I wonder if that's where the Florida man got this idea to put all those boxes in the shower. But I digress. Anyway, well, being new and figuring, what the heck? I asked our sexton, Don, all about it. And he said, I can get that working for you. Within a week, we had a working bathroom, albeit with a bulb that still hangs from the ceiling by a wire as a light fixture. He even installed a new medicine cabinet and cleaned it. Now, the point of all this is not about a bathroom, but that I was too new to know any better. And so I was able to see things differently because they were not familiar. And this has happened to you, I'm sure it has, or kind of the opposite. Have you ever been driving home and realized you don't remember any of the turns you took along the way? Now, it wasn't that you were asleep, or so I hope. It's just that the drive is so familiar, so ingrained in your psyche, you don't even think about it anymore. But when we come to a new, someplace new, we bring fresh eyes. Everything is something to be discovered, to be seen, to be heard. Our senses are more awake because the sight, smell, sounds, and sometimes even the tastes are different. And while that can be disconcerting sometimes, it also gives us a fresh start. And those blank slates can allow us to be transformed in ways we had not even begun to consider. Not only that, but others see us differently too. You know, it's a commonly understood thing in business and academic circles that to get to the next level, you need to go to a different company or institution. Because the people where you are now will not see you in that new way. Now, this is why when someone becomes a postulant for holy orders, they must leave their home parish. They need to go where they will be stretched and where others no longer see them as the lay leader they likely were, but as the clergy they feel called to be. And that's the thing about how God works with Matthew, Abram, Sarai, and us. God is always trying to invite us into the next thing, the next part of our life in faith, and we can't do that. We can't go to where Christ is leading us unless we are willing to let go of where we are and follow him. This is true for us individually, and also as a community of faith. You know, we entered unfamiliar territory when I first arrived here. I was new to you and to this parish. Those of you who were here then were mostly new to me, although I knew a few of you. And yet, we grew to know and love one another through the years as our church grew and thrived. Then together we entered a foreign land, a new one, the COVID pandemic. And separated by physical distance, but united in prayer and love, we followed Jesus through the tumult. We emerged from it with heavy hearts, having lost people we loved, along with most of our parish financial stability. And now we're walking into this post-pandemic fragility in which we find ourselves today, continuing to listen to where Jesus is calling us now. You know, I hear this all the time, maybe you do. People are always saying the church universal is dead or dying. Anybody seen an article like that? I'm telling you, they're everywhere, you just Google it. As I've said before, the death of the church has been predicted for centuries. They tried to kill Jesus. That didn't work. The church, the body of Christ, will not die. It will, however, change. And what will that look like for us and for all the people we serve in his name? What will this new country, this strange post-pandemic world, be like for us? Well, I don't have a crystal ball, so I cannot say for sure. Wish I did, though. But one thing I do know is that wherever we follow Jesus, we will not only be okay, we will, by his grace and love, thrive and be transformed in ways we never imagined. Take just the example of Matthew. If we continue in this story, we find that Jesus invited a number of other tax collectors and so-called sinners to his party of fellowship. How do you think that felt to those folks? To be welcomed, loved, included, not in spite of who they are, but because they are God's beloved children. And when the powerful saw that this body of Christ, these followers of Jesus, were an inclusive mix of people from all walks of life, the powerful questioned Jesus on why he dares to dine with sinners. Now, I love this little bit of Jesus' smackdown of those who didn't like his crowd. He basically said, I'm not here. The sick are not, the well are not the ones who need a physician, but the sick are, right? But then he adds this little bit. He says, go and learn what this means. Go and learn what this means. Do you think just maybe he wasn't talking about the people with him as being the sick ones? And you know what? If Jesus didn't eat with sinners, he'd be eating alone. And so would all of us. And we'd still be eating with sinners. God did not create perfect people. But God became incarnate to dwell among us that we might know, really, really know, that perfection isn't what God desires of us. Thanks be to God. If folks are looking for perfect people, they better look elsewhere, because they sure as hell won't find us in the church. And the truth is, they won't find it anywhere else, really. We aren't meant to be perfect. We are meant to be like Jesus. Not just being inclusive, not just being welcoming, but intentionally inviting to the feast. This feast, everyone, but most especially those others pushed aside, the immigrant, people of color, LGBTQ+ people, women, and the physically and emotionally challenged, the spiritually hungry, the addicted, and more. This is the life Jesus invites us to when we follow him. This is the journey God pushes us out into the world to take on. And one thing is for certain. Like Abram and Sarai, things won't always go as planned or be smooth sailing or everything we dreamed it might be. Yet we will be blessed beyond our wildest dreams. And like Matthew, we may not be living a life of riches when we follow Jesus, but we will be rich beyond measure. So let us leave behind what we know. Let go of what was and step forward to what may be. It will change everything for us, for our parish, for this community, and for the world. Amen.